This is regional news coverage from the KBIA newsroom. I'm Katerina Sestarek. After almost 10 years of high-profile court battles and an international media campaign led by his family and friends, Ryan Ferguson is free. KBIA's George Varney joined Ferguson family members and supporters who greeted him at Columbia's Tiger Hotel last night following his release.
The Missouri Court of Appeals issued a bond order yesterday releasing Ryan Ferguson from his near decade-long imprisonment at the Jefferson City Correctional Center. Ferguson was released officially from Boone County Prison after being transferred hours earlier from the correctional center. Ferguson, along with his family and attorneys, spoke at a press conference last night at the Tiger Hotel.
I can get back to living my life, although I don't know yet how that'll feel. I was kind of scared about what was going to happen next. I didn't know this morning that I'd be standing here tonight. I didn't know anything. I didn't know the next step at all.
It remains to be seen what the future holds for Ryan Ferguson. He's working on a book he started in prison, but his first plan as a free man was simply a trip to Dairy Queen with his family. George Varney, KBIA News.
A state audit released yesterday finds that local governments and school districts in Missouri cost themselves $43 million by not allowing competition for underwriting public bonds. Marshall Griffin has details.
State Auditor Tom Schweik cites the practice of negotiated bond sales, in which an underwriter is hired in advance and sometimes acts as a financial advisor to the local government that issues the bonds.
Only 12% of our bonds have been competitively sold in Missouri as opposed to a negotiation. But we think competition yields lower interest rates and a better deal for the state.
Schweik recommends that local governments use independent financial advisors not tied to the bonds being sold, and that lawmakers pass legislation mandating competition for bond writing. In Jefferson City, I'm Marshall Griffin.
In response, some school officials question the projected savings and say negotiated sales help build trust between underwriters and local governments. Missouri Governor Jay Nixon is calling for a temporary halt to what's known as the economic border war between Kansas and Missouri. The practice has offered incentives to companies to move across the state line. Dan Verbeck reports Nixon wants a temporary moratorium for the Kansas City metro area. Action for the full two states will come at a later time.
Governor Nixon said his staff and that of Kansas Governor Sam Brownback have been negotiating the issue. Asked the last time he talked with Brownback, Nixon hesitated before saying it had been several short weeks. Nixon said the incentivized moves have not offered new jobs.
And it's not good for our economy, hampering our ability to compete as a region globally. We need all the dollars of our low-tax states to focus on creating an economy of the future right here.
Nixon said the border war is unique to the region. Speaking to the Greater Kansas City Area Chamber of Commerce, Nixon proposed Kansas and Missouri legislatures make the moratorium permanent to mutual benefit. In Kansas City, I'm Dan Verbeck.
Five Missouri school districts will be getting federal money to replace old school buses with more energy-efficient versions. The Missouri Department of Natural Resources says in a release the districts will receive funds of up to 25% of the cost of a new school bus with a $20,000 maximum per district. Districts receiving the funds are Clever, Hannibal, Joplin, Ozark, and West County. The funds come from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency and are administered by the DNR's Early School Bus Replacement Program. Missouri death row inmate Joseph Franklin has an unexpected advocate for the stoppage of his planned execution. Hustler publisher Larry Flint and the American Civil Liberties Union of Missouri Foundation filed a motion in federal court to have documentation concerning Franklin's planned execution unsealed. Flint was paralyzed from the waist down in 1978 after being shot by Franklin in Georgia in retaliation for Hustler containing an interracial photo spread. Franklin is facing execution for committing multiple murders. Flint is a longtime opponent of the death penalty. ACLU Missouri legal director Tony Ruddert says the ACLU filed the motion on behalf of Flint, who believes the public has a right to see the documentation for the case.
He also believes that if the public did know what the lengths Missouri was going to carry out executions, that the public would be opposed.
In a recent column Flint wrote for The Hollywood Reporter, Flint says that life in a 3x6 prison cell is far worse than death by lethal injection, and Flint contends it would cut the expenses of long and complex judicial processes. MU journalism professor Sandy Davidson says the ACLU wants to call into question the reliability of the anesthesiologist on the execution team, only identified as M3. The testimony of M3 supposedly allowed the court to satisfy Eighth Amendment rights in regards to cruelty in the Franklin case.
The American Board of Anesthesiologists forbids members from participating in capital punishments. There's the question, is M3 certified? And the ACLU is apparently saying, if so, only because the state is abetting him.
Davidson says the request for access to information has First Amendment implications, something that Flint has a long history with. An execution last month was canceled after the European Union threatened to limit exports of propofol, a general anesthetic that was going to be used in the executions, to the United States if Missouri followed through with its executions. For KBIA News, I'm Katerina Sestarek.